the Lord helping us, we shall commence our worship today with hymn number 214. 214. Dear Lord, remember me, a sinner weak and vile, full of impiety and fraught with sin and guile. I cannot hope but in thy blood. Remember me, O Lord, for good. Hymn 214.
Thank you. From the Holy Word of God, we'll read together the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. May God bless that reading from his holy word to us, and may he help us each in prayer. Kind and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, once more we are found in thy house of prayer. And Lord, we do thank thee for this opportunity to gather together around thy word, to meet, to worship, and to praise thy great and holy name. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt fill our hearts with thy praises. And grant, Lord, that our mouths might be opened, and Lord, that thou wilt touch our lips and our hearts, that our praise may flow forth unto thee this day. Lord, we do thank thee for the very many blessings and mercies that surround us day by day. Lord, we do praise thy great and holy name, thy faithfulness, thy word, and those things that it contains. We do pray that we may know the power of the Holy Spirit, taking of those things and revealing a precious Saviour to us. We pray that the promises, the exhortations in thy word may be made powerful and effectual in our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that thy word, even this day, may be made so to us each. We pray for that application. Lord, we thank thee for thy word, for the preaching of thy word. We thank thee for the word in our thy word that is in our hands, in our own language, so available to us. We do pray, Lord, thy blessing upon it. And Lord, as we think of the word that is preached, that which has been sown, we pray, Lord, that we each may take it up in our prayers and pray that good seed may bring forth fruit in due time. Lord, we pray that the Church of God may travail together in this regard, that there may be that watering of the word in the prayers of thy people. Lord, that there may be that prospering of the preaching of the everlasting gospel. And Lord, that thy name might be honoured and glorified in these things, in the salvation of souls, in the bringing forth of thy children from darkness into light, in the setting at liberty of thy dear children, and in the growing in grace, and in the establishing and in the settling of thy people in the truth as it is in Jesus. And Lord, we do pray that we may be found often in prayer, praying for the prosperity of Zion, that we may be praying for the peace of Jerusalem, for they shall prosper that love thee. Oh, we do pray that thou grant us then that these things may be impressed upon us, that they may be taking this up, Lord, and this bearing these things before thee at the throne of grace. And Lord, we pray for that prospering of the preaching of the everlasting gospel here, but Lord, also to the ends of the earth. Lord, we pray as thy word goes forth among the nations of the earth, that there may be that bringing forth of fruit. And we pray, Lord, that thou bless thy servants labouring in thy name. And Lord, who followeth thy blessing, the things that are spoken and the things that are done, Lord, we pray that thou glorify thyself in these things, Lord, that we may live to see a day of true spiritual prosperity and a building up of Zion, and Lord, the establishing of thy people in this day we live in. Lord, we pray or for this cause of truth. Lord, we pray for the church, for the congregation. Lord, do grant thy blessing to rest upon them each. Lord, that thou lift up the light of thy countenance upon them, and guide and keep them in all things, and bind them together, and bless them together. And Lord, we pray that thou gather in from the congregation into the church. Here we pray. And that thou establish this local church here in their most holy faith. And Lord, we pray that the love of God might be shed abroad in each heart by the Holy Ghost. We pray, Lord, that thou remember those that hold office here. Lord, do grant help to the deacons. Do, Lord, supply their every need. Grant them, Lord, that strength in body and in mind and in spirit. Grant them, Lord, we pray, that help they need, true wisdom from thee. And, Lord, do grant thy blessing in those things that they do on behalf of the church here and the congregation. And Lord, we do pray, Lord, that thou bless the church, and may there be, Lord, that wrestling prayer. May there be that bearing one another's burdens, and in this so fulfilling the law of Christ. Lord, we pray for the Sunday school, for those that teach in the Sunday school. Do grant them, Lord, thy guidance and thy help. And do encourage them, Lord, we pray, in this labour of love. Do bless the children, Lord. Do bring to their remembrance those things that they have been taught. Lord, we do thank thee for the children and for the Sunday school and for the teachers, and pray that thou continue thy work here, and do bless and be with the children as they come to that age of leaving Sunday school. We pray, Lord, that thou would help them as they enter adult life, and grant, Lord, thy directing, guiding hand might be upon them, in influencing them in the choices and decisions that they have. And we pray, whether young or old, that thy hand might be upon us each, in keeping us and guiding us day by day. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We humbly pray. Lord, we live in a day of many influences and many means to be influenced. And Lord, we pray that thou would influence and guide us. And Lord, that thou would hedge about each one of us, that we may be kept from those things that are wrong. Lord, do create in us each a clean heart, O God, and change our desires, Lord, that we may be found truly hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and not seeking to satisfy those sinful desires that are in our hearts by nature. Oh, do you, Lord, overrule, do suppress, Lord, do cleanse us and wash us from all uncleanness,
Lord, do subdue that monstrous host that dwells within. And may the Spirit of the Lord be found in each one of our hearts. And Lord, may the Spirit of the Lord have dominion over us. And Lord, do grant that keeping, that we may be kept by the power of God. Lord, do keep the door of our lips. Lord, do keep us in our thoughts and in our minds. Lord, do grant us, Lord, those right motives. Lord, may we ever be checking our motives. Help us, Lord. Oh, we pray. Do undertake for us. Lord, we find that sin oppresses, and that guilt and condemnation. Lord, we pray that there may be that lifting up of our heads. There may be that touching of our hearts. There may be those sweet comforts and consolations, that though we are in a body of sin, in a world of sin, seemingly at times surrounded by it, Lord, may we know those times of being lifted above these dying, inferior things. And so we pray in our worship this day, there may be a drawing of thee. Draw me. We will run after thee. Oh, draw us unto thyself. Draw us away, Lord, for a few moments from all the pressing things, and draw us to thy feet. Oh, that we may be brought to thy feet, to sit at thy feet, to be as that one in whom those devils were removed, sitting and clothed and in our right minds. O Lord, do then grant us thy help. May we know thy abiding presence. And Lord, as we have begun this week, this first day of the week, may we know thy presence day by day as we go onward in our lives. So remember us, Lord, here we pray. Grant us thy presence and thy blessing. And take not thy Holy Spirit from us. We pray these things, Lord Jesus. We ask thy pardon and thy forgiveness of anything that is amiss in our worship, anything that is spoken amiss. May, Lord, thy word abide and remain in our hearts. We ask these things. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt accept us in and through thy dear Son, and that thou wilt receive us graciously, as we ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 129. 129. Ye souls that are weak and helpless and poor, who know not to speak, much less to do more, lo, here's a foundation for comfort and peace. In Christ is salvation. The kingdom is his. Hymn number 129.
turn with me to the chapter we've read, the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6. With the Lord's help, this morning I'll speak to you from the words in verse 32 that are not in the brackets. Matthew chapter 6, verse 32, those words outside of the brackets, "For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 32, and the words outside of the brackets, "For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." The whole verse reads, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." Grace makes a difference. It makes a vital and saving difference. It makes a difference between those that are lost and those that are saved. It sets apart the children of God from the children of the world. And grace within the heart does and should do make a difference in the lives of those that possess that grace. And I don't know whether it struck you, but it did me in reading this sixth chapter this morning. The emphasis the Lord Jesus seemed to put on this, that difference. "But thou," you know, when thou doest thine alms, that was verse 3, verse 6, "but thou," in opposition or opposite to what others might do, how others might react, how others might respond, how others may conduct themselves, there's a "but thou." There's to be a difference. There's to be things done differently, things spoken differently. That difference. The Lord doth put a difference. And He does, and there is, isn't there, between the true Israel and the world. "But thou," and we have it, verse 17, "but thou, when thou fastest," and so you go on. Well, we have our text this morning, and there's a difference, and in the context of our text, there are three vital things for our temporal need: what we shall eat, what we shall drink, and what we shall be clothed with. You know, don't misunderstand. It isn't to have no thought at all of these things. When they're so essential, we cannot go long, can we, without eating and drinking before we would die. There must be some consideration of these things. We cannot live in a careless manner. Our bodies have temporal needs. God has given us a measure of intellect and understanding that we may understand what our bodies need
So what is the thrust of the teaching here then? Because there is a difference in these things. Well, it is surely what we see firstly in the world around us at present, and what was no doubt in the world around in the time of our Lord Jesus here upon earth, that this total obsession that the world has, and you think of it, those three things, that they're essential things, they're vital things, but how we see it, don't we? The world seems to be obsessed with these things. What we shall eat, what we shall drink, and what we shall put on. Those three vital things. And yet, how we have been consumed. Our day and generation. The obsession there is regarding those three things. And, you know, this should not be in those that are professing, or those that are possessing the grace of God. But rather it's this. Therefore take no thought, saying, what we shall eat, or what we shall drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed. For all these things, and this is it, he puts the contrast, the difference here. All these things do the Gentiles seek, or the world is seeking. That's what they're seeking. That's what they're obsessing over. That's what consumes the majority of their time and their notice, their attention. Things, they are all-consuming. But he says that not so for the believer. This should not be. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? There is an unhealthy level of thought and care and attention. And I mean unhealthy regarding spiritual health. And may these things be laid to our hearts, that these essential things, these essential temporary things, may have a right place in our lives. It says, seek ye first. Let this be first and foremost in your thought and mind. Let this be the thing that takes the majority of your attention. You know, friends, surely if we look around at the world, we are all living in it, we have our dealings with it on a day-to-day basis. It's a world that lives without, in the most part, without a knowledge, without the acknowledged knowledge of a creator. That isn't the way that the believer should be living their lives. I struggle to understand what it is that is thought, considering
why we are here, why we are living, what brought us to live here on this earth, and what will be after our lives come to an end. All of those thoughts outside of the acknowledged knowledge of a creator bring the living of your life here below to be consumed with the temporal things of this life. But the mercy of the Lord is this. If you and I are taught that we have been created by a creator, and his care and detail of care over his creation, and how he satisfies the desires of every living thing, then in that knowledge, I truly believe that these things will have their right place. So don't misunderstand the word this morning. After all these things, do the Gentiles seek, but you're to be different. Child of God, believer, you're to be different. You're to live in the knowledge that your Heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Now, the context of our verse this morning, your Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Creator, he knows that ye have need, ye individually, ye have need of all these things. The one who created you knows what your daily needs are. And is he the one who created heaven and earth, who spoke this world into being, not able to supply your need? Well then, dear friends, to me this verse speaks of such a ground of hope. It speaks of such a wonderful promise. And if our thoughts are only this morning providential, then what a comfort to you and I to be brought to truly rest in the hands of our Creator. And that resting doesn't mean that you therefore will do nothing. But in other words, it is this casting all your care upon him and leaving it there, so that your mind and your heart is freed from this over anxious care of the world displays. And those things that would otherwise crowd out your mind and so take your attention that there would seem to be no room for any thoughts of your Creator, of your Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Friend, of his goodness, of his mercy. It is in casting your temporal needs upon and into the hands of a living God, in the which you see and prove and have demonstrated to you
how much he cares for you. And this is what Satan fights against. And this is why you find him standing between you and your God in prayer at times. And how he would seek to over-exaggerate and over-influence you. Because that's what he does. He strives against the work of God. He fights against faith in Jesus Christ. He's anti-Christ. There is filling your mind with anything other than what the Lord Jesus goes on to speak of. This seek ye first the kingdom of God. Oh, that you and I might have things in that right order. That there might be a right balance in our lives. That those of you that find yourself busy with daily life, that there might be this right balance, that the Lord will help you, lead you and guide you and keep you in that right balance, that you might have things in the right perspective, and that things might not be out of balance and so busy that we have no time to really think. Well, one of the things I think many found in that lockdown period a few years ago was that there was more time. And I wonder how many of you felt to benefit from it. When there was that interruption in your daily life and a whole almost a new balance in your life. It was forced on you, but there were some things that were seen by a good number of people to be a benefit, even in that very solemn and heavy judgment that was upon the nations of the earth. Well, sometimes we need these things, don't we? This pulling up. We need these times where we're made to stop and we're made to really consider our latter end. So consumed with today that we lose sight that how many more todays are there? So taken up with life that we never consider death. So busy with things that we're too busy for prayer, for the reading of the Word of God, or even for attending the services of God's house. Yes, we have the day of rest. And we're thankful, aren't we, for that? For that one day interruption in our busy lives. Where would we be without that blessing of the day of rest? Where would we be? Well, the Lord is merciful. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. This morning, it's in a slightly different way. I feel really led to this. And really, it's this. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And that is a great blessing and comfort. That he knows what you have need of. And therefore, then surely, when we consider those things that we have, then we have to acknowledge that he knows He knows our need of those, need of them, need of all these things. So your Heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And what is it? What is it that you have in your life? What is it that the Lord has given you? What is it that has come into your pathway? If your Heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things, then these things that you have, he sees them as needful. He sees them as needful. And may this be a comfort to you, those of you who this morning maybe have things that you don't understand. Things that you think you'd be better off without this morning. Your Heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. With some of you, maybe it's affliction. And affliction, long, some afflictions are long. Some afflictions are drawn out. Some afflictions are lifelong. Other afflictions are shorter and maybe sharper. Are they there by chance? Have they come? Have they come by chance? Surely that's the response the world would give. They might use the word unlucky. Oh, how unlucky it is for you. We surely know better, don't we? Your Heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Is there then some thought maybe in your mind that of you of him as harsh, uncaring, unloving, vindictive? Your Heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Is it through spite and bitterness? Oh, judge not the Lord by feeble sense. Oh, we do, don't we? Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. It is a comfort for those to rest this morning, and rest all the busy cares of what to eat and drink and put on. Family needs, business needs, temporal needs. What about those things that you have received? What about those burdens that you are bearing? What about those weights that have been put on you? That ballast that has been loaded on? Those things that are weighing on you, those burdens that are pressing you this morning, is it to see those as needful? Needful. Necessary. Surely if they weren't, you wouldn't have it, would you? The promise here, your Heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need, that ye have need. He knows what your needs are to supply that need. We may have lots of wants, that's not the promise. the comfort, the foundation of hope in the word, in the context of the word, is that he knows your need. And those things that are needed will be supplied. And there's a need, isn't there? Surely in those things that are given. Now you might say, I don't need this morning. I don't need this in my life. Well, what I need is what my friends have. What I need is what my neighbour has. What I need is what the world has. I need some space. I need some ease. I need a break. I need a rest from this. I don't need any more of this. This bringing down, this bringing low. But he says, your heavenly Father knoweth. Surely someone was given the Lord's help there. You could preach a sermon from nearly every word in this verse, couldn't you? It's like an overrunning cup of blessing. Your heavenly Father, he knows what's arrived in the post. He knows what's come into your life. He knows those crooked things. It hasn't taken him by surprise. He wasn't turning and it took him by surprise. Or he may well have withdrawn a little of his preserving care over you. Yes, needful that is at times. He may have given you something of your heart's desire. In other words, taking off his restraining hand and allowing some of those things you wanted in your life. But is it sent to send leanness into your soul? Is it? He gave them their heart's desire, sent leanness. Oh, these things are needful also. And his judgments and his correcting hand are needful. And the hidings of his face, they're needful. It has its perfect work. It will have an end. And the outcome, it's a designed outcome. It's not without intention. Remember this. It is not without intention. There's a purpose. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, though that beginning of it may be bitter. But sweet will be the flower. Yes, it will. Needful. It is needful. Your Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father. Maybe that's why it's come. Maybe this morning, that's what it is. That you might know he's your Heavenly Father. That you might be brought into that wonderful place of knowledge and understanding that he is your, not the Heavenly Father, which he is, but your Heavenly Father. There is a laying hold, a taking possession. by experience and by the sweet revelation in these things that he's your heavenly Father. And surely you don't need me to tell you that if he's your heavenly Father, dear friend, and he's you're his child. And we're not talking about being one of the children of God by a child of his creation, but by the sending of his Son on your behalf, a child by regeneration, by adoption, spiritual adoption into his family. Your heavenly Father knoweth. He knows all about you, from the end of your life to from the beginning of your life to the end of it, from the beginning of this trial, this trouble, this difficulty. Knows all about it. He knows how to bring you through it, how to uphold you in it, how to take it from you. When that trial has finished its work, knows when the time is right, knows when to shine that light of life, light and liberty, knows when to turn off the heat, to bring you out of the refiner's fire, or knows how to hold you there, right to the end of your days, by presencing himself with you and sweetening that furnace by his very presence, as those three Hebrews proved in that burning fiery furnace. The Lord was with them in that furnace. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. There's a word that so came to my mind. And it's a word that was spoken by Jacob to his son Joseph. And you remember at the end of Jacob's life, and he's gone down to Egypt, and he's been reunited with Joseph. And Joseph, he comes before his father, and he brings his two boys, Ephraim and Manasseh. And we're told Israel, he strengthens himself and sat on the bed, and he blesses the two lads, doesn't he? And you know what happened. Joseph takes his two boys and presents them so that Jacob can put his right hand on the eldest and his left hand on the younger one. And Jacob stretches out his hand, and he crosses his hands, and he lays his right hand on the head of Ephraim and his left hand on the head of Manasseh. And we're told that he did it guiding his hands wittingly, knowingly, purposely. Wasn't a mistake. Wasn't a mistake. You think of it. He's setting the younger above the elder. He did it purposely. He did it wittingly. Manasseh was the firstborn. He blessed Ephraim first. And Joseph saw it, and it displeased him. It displeased him. And we're told in Genesis 48, verse 17, when Joseph saw his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from the head, from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And his father refused. His father refused. It was these words that really struck me. His father refused and said, I know it, my son. I know it. That was really profound to me. In the context of our text this morning, your heavenly Father knoweth. You're confused. You can't work it out. Maybe you're displeased. You're receiving what you might call a cross-handed blessing this morning. It's not according to how it should be in your eyes. It's not according to how it has been done in times past. It's not how it's always done. It's not how it's right to do. You're displeased. You're like Joseph. You're displeased. What the Lord says to you, in the context of our text, I know it, my son. I know it. It's got a purpose. You can't see it, but it's right. There's no mistake. To rest. What was Joseph's rest? He had to rest in the knowledge of his father, knowing it. That was where he could rest. Didn't understand why he crossed his hands. Didn't understand why he set Ephraim before Manasseh. But he could rest there. He knew that his father knew. His eyesight was gone or going. He knew, he was determined to cross his hands, to bless the younger before the elder. And Joseph could rest there. At the word that his father spoke, I know it, my son. I know it. May the Lord whisper that to you, whoever you are, who feel maybe this morning the cross-handed blessing, the purposes of the Lord seem out of course, you cannot understand it or fathom it. May you rest there. I know it, my son. My son. I know it. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Parrish will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service and also hopes to address the Sunday School this afternoon. There'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock with an address by Mr. Robert Field, who also hopes to preach on Tuesday evening. And Mr. Tim Kingham, is expected to preach next Lord's Day. Our closing hymn is 680. Before all worlds, the glorious plan, the blessed eternal deed, was settled by the eternal three, that Christ for man should bleed. Hymn 680.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.